B-Pod Studios.
Now, Zach Berman has a newborn. He's been up for a while. And what's interesting about Zach Berman is not only is he up, but apparently his fake Twitter account was up as well today. Good morning, Zach.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on the show.
Always a pleasure to have you on, man. Now, we saw this fake tweet out there saying Ronald Darby to, what was it, the Chiefs?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I was on Twitter this morning, and there was a fake Kansas City Chiefs account, and it looked like an official news story, you know, and it was not. So
okay.
I apologize. Quickly corrected.
Oh, it happens to the best of us. Happens to all of us at least once a year. It's a beautiful
they got
time.
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah, they got trained pretty bad. But, Zach, what a lot of people want to talk about today is Tevin Coleman goes off the board, so to speak, away from free agency, ends up signing with the 49ers. So a lot of people are looking at the running back position right now with the Eagles as their number one need. First and foremost, do you see it that way, and how do you solve that, Zach?
Well, I saw defensive tackle as their biggest need going into free agency. Obviously, they addressed that with Malik Jackson. So right now, I would agree running back is their biggest need. I would caution fans who are panicked from saying it's March 14th. Free agency literally opened yesterday. So, you know, there's a lot that can happen between now and the first week of September. That being said, I do think the Eagles must address this position, and they can't just wait until the draft. And the reason I say that is because you never know how the draft board's going to fall, frankly. You never know how your evaluations are going to be. The Eagles did not address the position in 2017. It was a loaded draft class, and then the board didn't really fall how they wanted to. Ended up with Donnell Pumphrey in the fourth round. They did sign LeGarrette Blount. A month later, they did trade for Jay Ajayi during the season. They did win a Super Bowl. There's a lot that can still happen, but I do think the Eagles need to address the position in the coming weeks.
Is there anyone available right now that you would say that would be a good addition? That'd be a smart move.
Well, I actually thought Tevin Coleman would have been a sensible move, especially at that salary, but from what's available now, there's no brainer, I would say, although Spencer Ware is someone with starting experience who Doug Peterson knows. If you're looking for a change of scenery guy, TJ Yeldon from Jacksonville's former second round pick. And then I think you can look in the trade market. I like Duke Johnson quite a bit from Cleveland. Jordan Howard's obviously an accomplished running back. So there are options out there. I don't think there's that surefire no-brainer. But that being said, at this point, the Eagles aren't going to invest significant money in that position. So it's a matter of finding the right fit and hoping your evaluation's correct.
Speaking with Zach Berman, Philly.com, Philly Inquirer, and author of the book, Underdogs, covering the Eagles Super Bowl run from a year ago. Zach, looking at the draft, I know the Eagles met with a lot of running backs while they were out at the combine and all that. Is there one particular guy or maybe two that you're looking at running back wise, young guy that could draft in the early goings or maybe with one of their fourth round picks?
Well, if you're talking the first round, Josh Jacobs is the best running back in this draft. Now I don't think the Eagles can get him in the second round. You probably only need to invest a first rounder if he's on the board there. But then in the second round, you know, it really depends on what you think of these players. David Montgomery from Iowa State, the player I like. I actually like Miles Sanders from Penn State. I think there are guys there you can get second round. I don't know about fourth round, but if you can either trade back from the second into the third, trade up from the fourth into the third, maybe the third round, the possibility. If you wait until day three, it's a real challenge because you could end up with Marlon Mack like the Colts did. You could end up with Donnell Pumphrey like the Eagles did. So, that's too much of a risk. I think if you're looking for a significant contributor, then you need to think one of your first three picks.
Zach, what are they going to do with the linebacker position with Jordan Hicks now on the move? And, you know, Nigel Bradham, great, love him. But your depth there and your other starter there doesn't seem to be around here yet, is it?
Yeah, good question there. And Nigel Bradham's going to have an even bigger role, frankly, when Jordan Hicks was injured during the Super Bowl run. And then last year, Nigel played that three down role for them, also was the defensive signal caller. I think they're comfortable with Nigel there. I wouldn't worry so much about three linebackers because the Eagles aren't in their base defense that often. Right. But you do need that second linebacker. They like Kamu Grugier-Hill. They like Nate Gary. Those are the internal options. What they really need to determine, are those guys ready to take on a bigger role? It's still early in free agency, so there are some players out there. The trade market, too. If you want a name on the trade market who I like, Darren Lee from the Jets, who just signed C.J. Mosley. Lee was their first-round pick in 2016. Fast guy who can cover. But there are still players out there. I just don't think the Eagles prioritize that position financially, although I do think they are going to miss Jordan Hicks.
Asking a lot of people this recently, Zach, looking at DeSean Jackson coming back here, what do you expect him to do this upcoming season? How much do you think he has left in the tank?
I expect him to stretch the field. That's an obvious answer. I think that the move made sense because the Eagles needed a vertical receiver, but I would caution anyone listening to judge it on DeSean Jackson in 2019 and not DeSean Jackson in 2009. There could be some sentiment associated with this move, and you know, you kind of need to be careful with that. He obviously still is an outstanding vertical threat. Led the league in yards per catch last year. Everyone saw that 75-yard touchdown against the Eagles in week two. But he's someone who hasn't played a 16-game season since leaving Philadelphia. He's had over 1,000 yards twice in the past 5 years, I believe. So I think within the role in the offense, he's a good addition. But if you're expecting to see the Sean that left, I don't know if you're going to have that player.
Any surprise Nelson Agholor got the money guaranteed that he did yesterday?
Not surprised that he has that salary. More surprised that the Eagles are carrying that much money at wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Although when they're not paying anyone at running back, they have money to spend at wide receiver.
Well, I'm sorry, you blipped out for a second there, Zach. What was that?
Yeah, I said when you're not paying any running backs, you can pay some wide receivers.
Sure.
But the Eagles have a lot of money invested in wide receiver. I think what Nelson's getting paid is probably consistent with what he would get if the Eagles let him go. I thought they maybe would have given an extension. They obviously did not do that. If you're going to have Nelson for 1 year at that salary, that's fine, but there are certain games when he could be your fourth or fifth option in the passing game. And so when you look at resource allocation, you're allocating a lot to wide receiver. And, the puzzle's not finished yet, so I'm real curious to see. But if you have deficiencies at running back, let's say, or at third safety or at linebacker, then you can look at how much you're tied into depth at wide receiver. So I'm real curious to see how this all finishes out.
Hey, if you had to put a grade on what they've done so far, like what would you grade them out at, the Eagles?
I would say incomplete. I really like Malik Jackson signing. I would give that an A signing. I think that was a steal for the Eagles. I think he's a good player who's an upgrade at a position of need, and they got a good value for him. There's still a lot of work left to be done. So I would say incomplete. They've only really made two moves here. And the DeSean Jackson move, I'm not over the moon about it, not down on it. I really like the Malik Jackson move. So I would give them a good grade based on Malik Jackson. But, if this is the roster they have going into the draft, I don't think that's enough. I do think they still need to address running back. Third safety is the position I'm watching closely. Frankly, I think third safety is more important than third linebacker in this defense. And I'm curious to see what they do at defensive end as well.
How do you feel about what they did with Wisniewski and JP?
Jason Peters, I think that's a good price for him. I think Jason Peters is a better option than what they have with Halapulavati Vaitai or Jordan Mailata. But as I'm saying this, I shouldn't be giving my left tackle analysis to Trey Thomas. You would know better than me. but with Stefan Wisniewski, I wouldn't really object to letting him go there. You know, I think he's a good player, good depth player. Once they committed to Isaac Seumalo, then the writing was on the wall. That being said, when you talk about Isaac, you really need to make sure your evaluation is correct. A lot of times when you give a contract extension, you're worried about how much you're spending. In this case, it's more, are you properly evaluating him as a starter in this offense? Because, frankly, 2017 wasn't good, and he showed some more promise last year, but they're really committing to him. And Wisniewski was a starter on this Super Bowl team. I don't fault them for letting Wisniewski go, but I do think that they need Jeff Stoutland to really develop guys there. And I should say Matt Pryor, who's going to step up as a reserve guard, that's a player the Eagles really like.
Zach Berman, Philly.com. Last thing for you. Malik Jackson, you mentioned liking bringing him into Philadelphia, play next to Fletcher Cox and all that. I'm a fan of it as well, but he did have some struggles in Jacksonville. What was the issue? It was actually benched for some time there as well.
Yeah, he was benched last season. They said that his run defense, you can make that argument, I suppose, but I'll put it this way. 2 years ago, Malik Jackson was in the Pro Bowl, one of the best interior defensive linemen in the NFL. 3 years ago, he signed a six-year, $90 million contract with the Jags, coming off a Super Bowl in Denver. Last season, I still think that's the exception, not the rule. And I'll also say the Jags invested a first-round pick in Taven Bryan. You guys know how that goes oftentimes.
Right.
You want to get your first-rounders on the field. He's 29 years old. He's been productive. He's not the best run defender, but when you're talking about an interior pass rush and the value of that and the fact that the Eagles really missed that last season, I think this is a really good signing.
All right, Zach Berman, Philly.com, author of the book Underdogs as well. Thanks for coming on, man. Always good talking to you.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.